This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 30th, 2013, episode 669.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
That's right, folks, it's Thursday, so that means you only have one day left to surf the web for off-kilter classifieds and email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line. On tomorrow's live show, like we do every Friday, the reading of the ads will reveal the top few to whom we will present this wide array of amazing prizes. First up, a gift pack of 100% all-natural Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment Salve. Made with all human ingredients, they are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Use Dr. Rose's on skin conditions from hot spots in dogs to rain rots and wounds in horses. And I can say from personal experience that it works wonders on itchy, flaky spots on cats with bad attitude. Learn more at drroses.com. Next, a 3.5-pound bucket of Rebound Hoof Pack. Unlike old-fashioned hoof packing, Rebound Hoof Pack is designed to relieve pain, soreness, and inflammation without having to wrap. No more duct tape. This all-natural, super sticky product is easily applied to the hoof with a wet hand, covered with shavings or paper, and the job is done. Rebound won't test, and it washes off with water. You can find out more online at reboundhoofpack.com. And rounding out the prize list for tomorrow's show, five, count them, five free bags of feed, forage, or supplement from Triple Crown Nutrition. The winner will receive five free bag coupons from Triple Crown Nutrition that can be redeemed at their local Triple Crown Nutrition distributor. Triple Crown Nutrition offers a complete lineup of fortified feeds, forages, and supplements to satisfy the needs of your whole herd. Whether you're looking for high fat, lower carbs, a senior diet, or sound nutrition for a growing horse, Triple Crown Nutrition has the answer. Now sit back and enjoy this previously aired masterpiece from the Hit'em Audio Vault.
Well, let's find out what we're doing on today's show.
On today's edition, Glenn is back on track with yet another crappy list. And tracking all over Slovakia, our adopted vet student Rochelle brings us the backstory. And thehorse.com is here this week. Snakes and spiders and scorpions. Oh, my.
Woo-hoo!
Stay tuned for the fracas.
Well, what brought that on is we've been talking about snakes all week. The snake that lives in my front porch and your pictures of your rattlesnakes you keep coming by there in the desert that look like tree trunks. And my brother actually lives about 2 miles from us here in Florida, and his wife goes out. They go trail riding with Jennifer through these areas where there are snakes and things. And he said, you know, what do you do if your horse gets bit while you're out on the trail ride? What is the proper, you know, what's the proper thing to do? So
run. Just run before you see it.
So I asked Michelle over at thehorse.com if they could talk about that. So Dr. Jones is going to be on, who practices here in Florida and has run into this stuff. And then Dr. Jones also threw in porcupines. So we'll have to find out if she's had porcupine attacks while people have been out on the trail. That's something you don't think about, but they have those barbs. I don't know how you get those out. That would be a mess. Ugh.
Well, you know, I don't think that you're going to get chased down by a porcupine. I think it's kind of one of those things that, like, by the way, I used to think that porcupines, if you saw one, they could, like, shoot their quills out at you. But I'm pretty sure that's not the case. So I watched way too much, like, you know, cartoons when I was a kid. So I think that probably your horse, like, probably gets those in his nose. You know, like, by sniffing it. That's what my horse did with the cactus, was he sniffed it. Bad call.
Well, Beaker, you know, we have cactus that grow wild here in the fields, and Jennifer was out hand grazing Beaker, and he decided that he'd never seen a cactus before. Let's give that a munch. So he chowed down. Yeah, he took a bite and decided that wasn't very tasty, and you know, was doing the lip rub thing for about 2 hours after that. He didn't get any of the little things in his little barbs in his mouth, but it must have tasted. I guess they must taste horrible too.
Yeah, anything to keep that horse losing weight, we'll take it.
He looked good when he got here, I have to say. All right, Daily Whinny time. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to Ellen Ferranti, who posted on our Facebook page yesterday. Thank you, Ellen. I think Ellen's actually from Manhattan, from New York City. She basically was thanking us for highlighting CampusEquestrian.com. She had met him. We had him on yesterday, and she had met him some time ago when he came up and posted about that. But I just wanted to thank Ellen for listening and for also posting on our Facebook page. Remember, it's Horses in the Morning. You can post anytime there. We keep an eye on all those posts, and we learn a lot more from our listeners than they probably learn from us. So looks like Jamie has dropped off here. Boy, we've been having problems with that this week, haven't we, Jennifer? I know. She'll be back to do her Daily Whinny. I know she has one. Let me cover a couple of things here. Let me see. Jamie, are you back?
Sorry.
Okay. All right, here we go.
It just picked me off. Sorry. Well, I was going to say, speaking of posting on Facebook, I just posted on Facebook, who gets my Daily Whinny, and it's Zenyatta. Oh, yeah. You know, it's been a while since I've posted that Zenyatta, since Zenyatta's gotten my Daily Whinny. But I posted on Facebook the picture of Zenyatta's baby boy getting his feet trimmed for the first time. Oh, it's so cute. Glenn, I want you to look at this picture.
Did he use a nail file?
I know. He's so tiny and so cute. I mean, he's huge for a young horse like this, little colt. But I love her expression in the back.
I know. She's like, don't you touch my baby.
What are you doing to my baby? But look at the guy that works at Lane's End, the green hat and the green shirt. I want you to look at him and tell me that guy, I swear it looks like Tiger Woods is holding this colt.
It kind of does, actually. You're right.
That looks like Tiger Woods. What is he doing at Lane's End? I guess maybe like the golf thing hasn't been working out since determined a major cheater.
He needed the job. What a cute picture. That's a cute picture.
So Tiger Woods, it's a photo of Tiger Woods holding Zenyatta's baby for the farrier.
And you're right about Zenyatta's face, or Zenyatta's like, what are you doing back there? I'm keeping a close eye on you.
Uh-huh. That's a protective mama. So it's a really good photo. So Zenyatta Daily Whinny, baby boy, getting his first trim. And I cannot believe that they have not called me and like asked me what my name suggestions are. How dare they?
Yeah. I didn't realize they still have, you know, I didn't think about the fact that they haven't named it yet.
I know. They haven't named it yet, and I've got some suggestions, and they just won't return my calls.
Oh, that is so cute. Very cute. Yeah. All right. A couple of housekeeping things before we go on with the show here. Really Bad Ads this Friday. Jennifer, what was the prize again?
This week's prize is a gift pack from Well Horse. You try it once, and it will become your very favorite skin ick and boo-boo product.
All right, Well Horse gift pack. So get your Really Bad Ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line as well. We need some good ones this week. We have to stock up. We used them all up the couple weeks ago, so we have to have you do some research and get on there and do your Really Bad Ads. Homework, people. Facebook. Let's talk about crappy old Facebook and how they're ruining my life. Facebook has an issue. So Facebook has a problem right now with the audio players. Remember, you used to be able to listen to our shows when we'd post them on Facebook? Well, for the last week, you've not been able to listen to the shows. You have to click through the link and go to our website to listen, which is an easy one-step process. It's not a big deal to do that. But I just wanted to tell everybody that the players are not working on Facebook now. However, believe it or not, I've been working with my geek on this, and we've tried to find ways around it, and it just looks like they broke it. So we posted on Facebook's tech site there. We actually got an acknowledgement that they're going to check into the issue and work on it. We got somebody to respond from Facebook. Can you believe that? So for right now, you cannot listen. If you were one of those listeners that were clicking play on Facebook, you can't do it. You just have to click through the link to our website and listen to it over there. The best way to do it, even better than that, is to subscribe through iTunes and have it automatically downloaded for you through iTunes to your phone or your player. So I just wanted to let everybody know that that is currently not working, and we don't know that it will ever work again. So please just click through and listen. One other thing... Yeah.
Well, while you have a moment, since you've got the ear of the Facebook people, why don't you go ahead and tell them how much Facebook sucks now with this new crappy page thing?
I think a few people have been telling them that. I think there's a Facebook page for how crappy Facebook is now, and there's like 2 million people.
I'm going to go look at that.
Yeah. Also, one other quick thing is there's a couple of prospective Olympian equestrians in New York City this morning. Going to be on the Today Show this morning between 8:30 and 9:30 Eastern, so they might have already been on. Heather Blitz is there. Reed Kessler, the young girl that just won all the jumping stuff down in Florida, is there. Also, Buck Davidson is there. They're the three representing the equestrian sports. And they're going to be in New York City all day signing autographs and doing various events because it's 100 days till the Olympics today. So that's what they're celebrating, is 100 days till the Olympics. So they're going to be on TV. I did tape it, so we'll see if we can get a clip from that tomorrow.
Good.
Well. And on a sadder note, Amy Tryon's memorial service will be held at Maple Leaf Farm in Duval, Washington at 1 p.m. on Friday, this coming Friday at 1 p.m. And following the service, a lunch will be served, a memory shared. Parking is apparently limited at this farm, so they're going to actually be running shuttle buses from local locations. They're going to have more details on that shortly, and you can find more information. Just search for Amy Tryon. Her website will come up, and you can find more information there as well. I just wanted to mention that that's coming up this Friday. And they're going to do a special memorial service at Rolex as well.
Oh, good. Good. That's important. Oh, well, to go back to the Facebook thing, Glenn, there's a page called Facebook Timeline Sucks.
Oh, and,
yeah, that's pretty easy to remember. 3,535 people like this one. So I just made it that number, by the way, because I went ahead and liked it as well. So that is the Facebook Timeline Sucks, and it does. Other news right now, I need to ask listeners' opinions about something, because you guys were so helpful with the whole horse is in love with the other mare. Well, you were kind of helpful with that, not really. And then you were very helpful with the whole horse, it falls over and passes out when I put the girth on too tight. And this little $50 adopted horse that I have, that is the one that falls over with the girth when you tighten the girth too much. If you want to go back and listen, that was last week's show. He lays down on the job. So he lays down when you tighten the girth too tight. So I've been working on that. Well, about 4 days ago, Joe Montana, who is my little police department adopted horse, decided that after, I don't know, how long have I had him? Like 4 months? 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, yeah.
He's been eating the same grain since I got him, and it is Purina Equine Strategy, okay? So just the regular Purina Strategy. I have four of my horses are on it. No, five of the horses that we have here, five out of six, are on this grain. They all eat it twice a day, every single day, no big deal. About 4 days ago, Joe Montana just decided he wasn't going to eat it anymore. He doesn't like it. He's like a little, it's like Mikey with the Life cereal. Like, if I give him Life cereal, he might eat that. Otherwise, he hates this food all of a sudden. Like, and it just started a couple days ago, and I had supplements put in it. He gets, like, some weight builder because he's just such a tiny little weight. He's 15'2", but he's probably, like, 800 pounds. He's so narrow and, like, malnourished when he was younger that he really hasn't gotten any bigger, you know. So he's on weight gain supplement. He's on all sorts of stuff. So I had all that in his food, and I thought, well, maybe that's it. I mean, maybe all of a sudden he doesn't like the supplement anymore, or it turned or whatever. So I took him off all the supplements. And I brought him some more of the strategy. He takes a bite, he spits it out. He takes a bite, he spits it out. It is so unbelievably frustrating to try to feed this horse that is already skinny that decides that he doesn't want to eat anymore. And, you know, he's had his teeth floated. Every other horse is eating this grain. And so it's not like it's a bad batch or something. I don't understand why all of a sudden he doesn't like it anymore. Can anybody help me with that?
We're sure it's not teeth.
Well, I mean, he just had his teeth checked about 3 weeks ago.
And he's eating other grain? Will he eat anything else? I mean, did he stop eating altogether, or is it just this particular grain?
Just this grain. Okay, so he gets alfalfa pellets that are soaked in water. And I mean, they're still kind of firm, but he gets the alfalfa pellets twice a day. He also gets, you know, an ungodly amount of grass hay. So he gets a lot of grass hay. Those things, and then I decided, well, you know, he's got to eat. So I gave him some Equine Senior. Ate that fine. No problem. So I don't understand why all of a sudden he decided he doesn't like it anymore. So I had to go out yesterday, and I bought some Equine Junior, which is a Purina brand for, like, weanlings and yearlings. And I thought, well, heck, he looks like a yearling, so I might as well try that. And I'm going to try that with him this morning. When we get done with the show. So I don't understand, why would a horse decide they don't like the taste of whatever grain it is anymore? Anybody have any idea?
Jennifer, do you have any thoughts on that one?
The only one I'm coming up with is erupting tooth. He's the right age group. And the texture of the strategy, because it's a real dry pellet. It doesn't have the oil on the outside like the senior and the junior do. Maybe it's easier on his little cheeks or something, or they tweaked the formula. In other words, they put a different flavoring agent in it or something like that. And he's the only one in the barn that said, "Ew, I don't like cheddar cheese. Give me this."
Yeah. Well, I know his wolf teeth are starting to come in because he's four, like, you know, coming five, his canines are starting to erupt. But he still eats everything else just fine. So maybe, if Jennifer, you don't mind putting that as our question of the day, you know, Jamie Torres, Joe Montana, has stopped eating Purine Strategy. He decides he doesn't like it. Figure it out. But he basically takes a bite and spits it out. But he's eating other grain. He's eating his hay. He's eating his alfalfa pellets. I can't figure it out. I'm frustrated. He's skinny enough, for crying out loud. People are going to think I'm starving the poor guy.
Those are tough. And, you know, Jennifer could be right. Maybe they just tweaked the formula enough that he said, I just don't like the taste of this. We'll see if he eats the junior. With the stuff in the junior, that ought to get him happy.
I know. But, again, why would he stop me? I can't feed him junior forever. I mean, he's not even a junior anymore.
That's true. All right, well, we'll wait to see what the listeners have to say about that. I have a crappy list for you today. It's Glenn's Crappy List Wednesday. We do this as just a tiny little break on Wednesday from all the horse talk, and we try and talk something a little bit different. It's my break. It's my horse husband break. I'm giving a break to all the horse husbands on Wednesdays for a couple of minutes. And today, you know, horses are so darn expensive that we got to afford to pay for them. You know, Jamie's feeding 25 bales a hay to Joe Montana. He's still skinny, and at $10 a bale, that's very expensive. So, you know, she's even going to need some additional income here shortly to afford all the horses she's collecting. So I thought, what a great list. This was put out by the Orange County Register as of March of this year, and it's the 12 best franchises to buy in 2012. So if you're looking to get into business, These are the ones that you want to do this year. And, Jamie, it'll be interesting to find out how many of these that we even know about and how many that you've been to.
Okay.
Some of them you can probably get. Some that I went, what? So there's some surprises in here, too. So these are the 12 best franchises to
do
buy.
I give a guess?
Go ahead. Take a guess.
I would go with Starbucks.
Not on the list.
Really?
I guess Starbucks' star is falling because they are not on the list.
Or there's already a billion of them, so why
That's
get
right.
another one?
That's right. How many across the street from each other Starbucks do we really need?
I know. And well, I would say that Burger King is one, because anytime you see a McDonald's go up, Burger King always follows. And that's very sneaky of them, but they always seem to buy the property across the street from McDonald's.
Well, you know which ones do that, too? I was just telling Jennifer, because we saw this the other day, and I don't know, they'll be different out on the West Coast. CVS and Walgreens always build directly across the street from each other.
Yes, they kind of do. You're right.
Do. I'm not sure why that is, but they always do. They must have figured out that that works. I don't know. Well, let's take a look here. Jennifer, you have any guesses?
Five Guys.
Five Guys Burgers and Fries, which is our favorite burger place in the whole world. No, not on the list.
All right,
let's take a look. Let's see here. Number 12 is one that you probably should have guessed, but you think that they're everywhere and you wouldn't need any more. By the way, I had the dollar amounts for these, too. That's kind of fun. McDonald's is number 12. Still, apparently, if you buy a McDonald's, you're going to make you build a McDonald's, you're going to make money. They say McDonald's requires a franchise fee of $45,000. Thought that would be higher. And ongoing royalties, they get 12.5% of everything you sell. And this total startup investment is a mere $1.1 million to start a McDonald's.
Yikes, really?
Yeah. Well, you got to build the building. Because they build their own building. Got to buy the land. So that's $1.1 million, start McDonald's, number 12. The next one is surprised me. I would have never guessed this. It's a hair salon called Great Clips, and you do see those. We see those here on the East Coast. Great Clips is the first hair salon to make it into the top 10 all-star franchise ranking because of their growth. They have 3,000 salons now, and you can get in cheap. That's the other reason that this is on the list, I think, is it's a $25,000 fee. And you can get in for $100,000 to $200,000 total.
And what's really exciting is that you can get a $7 haircut that you will then spend about $90 to get fixed.
Doesn't say that in the article here.
Oh, it didn't say that? I can't imagine why.
Do you talk from experience there, Jamie? Yeah, I think they have those at Walmart. It's a Great Clip.
There's a Great Clip that I went to not terribly far from where I live now, and I live in the middle of nowhere, so they put them everywhere. So I go to this Great Clips, and this woman who is cutting my hair starts talking to me about how, and okay, if you're getting $7 for a haircut, you're not paying your salon people very much. So you're paying people off the street who have no business cutting hair. She started telling me how she was a witch and that she could curse people. And I was like, you're freaking cutting my hair right now. And she's like, no, I have done things like I have wished people to run a red light and get hit and it happens. And then I wish this woman would fall down the stairs and it happened. And I'm like, oh, my God, here's your tip. Please stop cutting my hair. Get out of here. So I ended up actually, because she scared me so much, that she got halfway done and I left. And this was like,
really?
Probably about this time last year. I left the haircutting place and did not, and of course, then I had to pay for that haircut, and then I had to pay for the next one to fix the one that I had. So, yes, I was speaking with experience. Great Clips is the devil. Sorry. There goes our sponsorship.
She probably has a little doll of you that she's stuffing pins into right now. You know that, don't you?
I know, and I do have some back pain right now, and it's probably my fault.
Sure it is. Buffalo Wild Wings Grill and Bar. Buffalo Wild Wings, apparently they have 800 restaurants now, and their growth is unbelievable. Wings apparently are still in. You know, I thought the wings thing had died, but apparently not. It's $42,000 to buy this franchise, more than a McDonald's, And the total investment to build one of these babies is $1.4 to $3.5 million.
Oh, wow.
You better sell a freaking lot of wings to pay back that investment, let me tell you. Another one, we have one here in Ocala, and that's Aaron's Sales and Leasing. It's apparently a company that rents to own furniture, you know, that kind of thing. And they're doing very well. Well, you think in the economy today, I guess a lot of people are probably doing that. They can't afford to go out and spend $2,000 on a new couch. So they go do the lease-to-own thing, and Aaron's is the one benefiting from that. Franchise fee is cheap. It's $15,000, but it's going to cost you about $600,000 to put the store up and get the inventory.
Wow.
Here's another one that surprised me, because you would think that all of – I've never – whoever is successful at this, I don't know. Anytime Fitness. You know, there's so many competitors in the fitness world out there, and how many people buy their monthly membership and then cancel it 3 months later? I can't believe they make money.
You can't cancel them. They make it impossible. I had, when I moved to Arizona, I had a membership at one of the gyms in Atlanta, and I had to write a letter. A signed letter and mail it to the home office to get my membership canceled.
That's the way it was with ours in Lexington, too. You had to do a 30-day written notice, and then you had to bring keys in, and then you had to do all this stuff, and then you had to make sure they actually stopped charging your account because they all charge it automatically.
Yeah, I know. Shady.
Yeah. Well, $19,000 you can buy a Anytime Fitness franchise, and it's only going to cost you about $300,000 to get started with that one. Let me see here. Papa John's. No. Papa John's Pizza still doing well. 3,700 locations now for Papa John's. And it's good. You know, you can get into the pizza business relatively inexpensively, $25,000 for the royalty fee, and about $395,000 to open the store and buy the ovens and hire the employees that you're going to have a nightmare with the rest of your life.
You know what? All this is making me very hungry.
I know. Well, you're not done yet. Number six is Marco's Pizza, which is one I've never heard of. I don't know where they are at.
That must be Northeast.
Yeah, it must be because, but again, the franchise is about the same, $25,000 and $400,000 to start the store. Cumin North America, which is something I honestly have never heard of. I don't have kids, so maybe I wouldn't have. But stressing reading and math tutoring for elementary school students. Apparently, it's a tutoring company.
What is it called?
Cumin, K-U-M-O-N. Cumin, Cumin? See, I need to take the reading to know how to say the name. They have 5,000 centers with 4 million customers worldwide.
Oh, you know, now this makes sense because I have some students who ride on Wednesday night, and they had to ride yesterday because they had to go to Cumin.
Is it Cumin? Okay.
Cumin, and I thought that was like a church thing. I was like, oh, okay, whatever, we get it Tuesday. So, yeah, they have Cumin, so that's how you say it. Now it makes sense.
Well, if you don't have a lot of money, the franchise fee is only $1,000. And you can, for a total investment of about $100,000, you can get started teaching kids on how to read and also do math. I don't think this would be a good one for me because reading is not one of my specialties.
No, this is not your calling, Glenn. Move on.
Okay, number four is one Jennifer would like to open, and that is, believe it or not, Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I guess there's, you know, when we lived in Massachusetts, honest to God, when we would drive out of our driveway down the road to the corner, there was a Dunkin' Donuts on three of the corners on that one intersection, and there was another bakery on the fourth corner.
That's just the fat zone. Here, where are you calling me from? Oh, I'm driving through the fat zone. Oh,
did you
okay,
know that
where all the Dunkin' Donuts are.
A baker? Did you know that Jennifer used to be a baker? Obama Pan. She baked at Obama Pan for about a year, wasn't it? Jennifer, you liked that job. Jennifer kind of likes being
a baker.
I
was done with work every day by noontime. Go riding.
Yep, she'd get up early, though.
Go to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, Dunkin' Donuts franchise is going to cost you about $80,000 to buy the franchise fee and about $2 million to put up the store. So... that's what it's going to cost
and
to get in.
And how much in predetermined medical bills from your heart attack that you'll have at the age of 40?
Oh, I do love it. I'm looking at a picture box of a Dunkin' Donuts here. I got to tell you, we love our Dunkin' Donuts here in the East. Do you even have Dunkin' Donuts in the West?
You know, there might be a Dunkin' Donuts around, but I learned a long time ago not to even look in the general donut direction.
Now, the next one coming up, we don't like at all. We've eaten there, and we just did not like it, and that's Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's Gourmet Sandwich Shops. They built one right down the street from us. We ate there once, and it was terrible. The service was terrible. The food was terrible. Sorry, Jimmy John's. Cross them off as a potential sponsor. It was just terrible. I just didn't like it at all, so we're going on. I'm not even going to plug Jimmy John's. Now, the next one's going to shock the heck out of you, and I know you probably had these in Atlanta. Another thing I think that started on the West Coast, did you think they were everywhere and they were going out of business? It's 7-Eleven.
I think they have different names now, right, though? Like, they fall under different names.
Well, no, it just says 7-Eleven, and I thought I always thought 7-Elevens were like going out, and Sheetz and those places were coming in, but apparently they're doing quite well. So who knew?
I think 7-Elevens are in like really, exciting neighborhoods. Neighborhoods. Oh. I don't think we go there.
Okay, gotcha. All right, next. By the way, there was no price on the 7-Eleven for some reason.
How much is it, Glenn, to add the bulletproof glass and the bars on the windows?
I get you. Yeah.
Okay. Is that included
next
in the price?
Number one. This is the best franchise for 2012. If you're looking at buying a franchise, Subway. Jared and Subway. They have 30,000 locations worldwide, and they are $15,000 for the franchise fee, and only about $250,000, $250,000 to build your Subway store. If you think about it, there's not a lot in a Subway.
No, and you can do it in a mini mall, so it's not like you have to buy land like a McDonald's and create a building.
That's exactly what they said in the article, is that Subway has figured out the non-traditional location concept, and they're putting Subways in factories, they're putting Subways in everywhere you look now, there's a Subway, especially Walmart, you see a lot of them in the Walmart, and that's why their growth is so good, and that's why their stores do so well, is they're in high traffic areas, so they've kind of figured that out.
Well, Chad was just telling me there's only two restaurants ever like that are consistently on base on an Air Force base, and it's Burger King and Subway. Burger King and Subway. He says when he was in Korea, all they had was a Burger King. So he's stationed in Korea. There's nothing to eat except for Burger King. He said that he can't even look at them now. And of course, I love Burger King because they have veggie burgers. But Subway, the Subway on Luke Air Force Base, he said it's one of the most busy Subways in the United States because that's all they have. And there's like thousands of people that work there. You cannot go to that Subway between the hours of 11 and like 2 and not stand in line for like 25 minutes.
Wow. There's a corner of the market.
Yep, exactly. They own it. So, yeah, that is a great one because you can put them anywhere.
They're not selling the 6-inch subs at that Subway either with those people. They're selling the 12-inchers.
I'm sure they are. It is packed all the time. But I hate that you can't drive through a Subway. You know, I want to just drive. I don't want to get out of my car.
You can actually eat at Subway because you can get all of their sandwiches and stuff made into salads, too. So you probably can do all right at Subway.
You know, there's only two restaurants that I can eat at that are fast food, and it's Subway and Burger King. So on the Air Force Base, I'm set. I'm like, this is great. Taco Bell, though, I can eat at, too. But then I can just get sick.
What's Burger King have that you can eat?
They have veggie burgers. They're like the only fast food place that sells veggie burgers. And they're really good. So, you know, if I go through a drive-thru, that's what I get. Don't get the fries or the anything. You can't let yourself go, but you can have no mayonnaise veggie burger.
That sounds so exciting, Jamie. I'm just going to sign up for that today. Jennifer, we have to ask for our veg burgers for lunch today. That just sounds thrilling.
They're delicious.
All right. Let's take a break for our commercial. And we're going to come back and we're going to hear from Rochelle, who's at vet school over in Slovakia. And she talks a little bit, too, about the food over there.
We're here with Bo from Back on Track, sponsoring today's show. And, Bo, we've discussed human products and we've talked about horse products, but you guys actually have things for dogs.
We do. We have dog blankets. We have dog beds. We actually have dog hock boots. We have dog leg wraps. And it's the same for horses and people. They help to reduce inflammation and get the dogs to feel better. We have everything from toy dogs up to large, grand, what do you call them? The big ones. The
Great Danes.
Great Danes. Yeah.
St. Bernards, yeah.
Yeah.
So the dog bed, they would climb in the dog bed, and the whole thing is lined with this ceramic that increases blood flow?
Yes, and dogs actually, it's hurting on one side. It's actually laying down on that side.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of fun to see. And you know, cats love something in the barn. They lay on the increased blood and warmth, you know, so both dogs and cats love it. And we sell a lot in the agility business. Not so much over here, some we have done in Europe, but we have not really promoted ourselves so much here. But you know, everybody, some of my horses have a dog, and we have two kinds. We have a regular dog, some of the dog blankets, some they can have outside, and then we have one mesh, some they can have indoors, some is a little bit lighter.
Okay, gotcha. So the hock boots for dogs, like these are for performance dogs or like those of us who have older dogs?
Older dogs, you know, like it's not just performance, it's older dogs. When they, you know, they start to be aches and pain and
takes them a little while to get up.
They really makes a difference. Without being a miracle, they really helps the dog, yes.
I can see it for our greyhound because when we take her to the dog park, she's a greyhound. So she runs her legs off and then she's a little stiff the next day. So that would probably be good for that.
Absolutely. And we have greyhound blankets. We have Dachshund blankets.
I was going to ask you that because the greyhounds are shaped different.
Yeah.
They need a different size blanket.
We do have them. And, you know, greyhound, they always freeze.
Right. Hair.
I had the Italian greyhound.
Oh, did you?
She always shaked. So, she would have been a...
They're so cute, Italian greyhound.
Yeah, she wasn't a good dog.
Well, I would like to go and I'll have to go get one for our 15-year-old basset hound, but I'm not letting our puppy anywhere near it. He feels good enough. He drives me crazy. Well, thanks, Bo, from Back on Track. Check out backontrackproducts.com.
Thank you.
Aww.
We need to get Gloria one of those beds. She would love that. She would just think that's the coolest thing.
I talked about my Basset Hound in that commercial.
Oh,
he makes me sad.
That some time ago. I forgot about that.
I'm going to need
now
a moment.
Sad.
Carry on.
Sorry. Okay, we'll get you in a moment. We have coming up here, I got to catch up with, I had to record this because of the time difference, but I got to catch up with our adopted vet student, Rochelle, who is going to veterinary school in Slovakia. And we got to talk a little bit about how things are going for her over there, how school's going, and a little bit about horses and food as well. So we're going to let you hear about that conversation. And also, it's so funny, you mentioned yesterday, you mentioned Callie to me, Jamie, who is our adopted bug, our adopted jockey in training. And she texted me on Facebook last night, and apparently she's going to be heading to New York. It could be any time now. So they'll ship her up to New York. All the horses will move up there, and they'll move from their Florida location down here with Todd Fletcher and move up to New York. So that's coming up. But she's not going to get to go watch the Kentucky Derby.
Aw, she's not going to be down in Churchill. Bummer.
Nope, she's not. She said maybe sometime in the future, but not this time. So she was kind of disappointed about that. And she's disappointed she's going to miss Rolex, too. But so hi to Callie. All right, here is Rochelle from Slovakia. Well, hi, Rochelle.
Hi, Glenn. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. And, of course, you know, as we said, Rochelle, we've been talked to several times and about her adventures on being in vet school in... Now, I always get it wrong. I always say Slovenia, but you're actually in Slovakia.
Yeah, Slovakia. We're above Slovenia.
Okay. And what town again?
Košice.
Košice.
Okay. Yeah, that 10 times fast.
Yeah, no, I don't want to because I'd get kicked off the air. So how's it going? Tell us what vet school's like in a foreign country where you don't understand anything they're saying.
Yeah. It's going great, actually. The animals speak a universal language, so it's not too bad. No, I'm having a really good time. Very happy I came.
Now, do you have some classes in English, or are they all in English? Tell me how it works.
Oh, yeah. All of our classes are in English. All of our professors speak English, some of them with a stronger accent than others, but we can definitely understand everybody. It's funny because they apologize for their English, and we think it's perfect, and we don't speak any Slovakian. So it's great. They're really good professors, really enjoying it.
So the school, you give the school an A so far?
So far, so good. Yep.
So tell us what you must have an interesting story or two. I noticed that on Facebook you've done some field trips so far.
Oh, yeah. We do a lot of field trips. We're really lucky. We have a school farm. We have a school dairy farm. And so we go there on trips. We've also been to other farms, pig farms. I think we're going to a chicken farm in a couple of weeks. We also have a school stable, which is fun. We go there for riding lessons actually on Wednesday. So that's kind of nice.
Not so you have been able to ride since you've been there?
Yeah, we've been riding, yep. And we've also been doing a little bit of vaulting. What's that?
The only vaulting you've ever done up to this point is involuntary.
Exactly. Illegal dismount. Yeah, that's what it's called. No, the guy is he's a Slovakian vaulting instructor and works for the Slovakian team. He's been to multiple world championships and such like, and we just happen to have him here at our vet school. So he teaches us. It's good fun.
So you can do a flying leap onto a horse now?
No.
Flying leap off a horse?
I mean, he's teaching us. Doesn't mean we're learning. But yeah. No. Poor guy. He leaves crying every evening.
And have you made friends?
We've made a lot of friends. Yeah, we have actually. All seems to revolve around a couple of matriculation balls that we had. And so we went and we were sitting with all the Slovakian students. And I think they're a little nervous because they don't really know any of us and they're a little embarrassed to come up and say hi. So a little alcohol was involved and many friends were made that night. So that's good. And then we also have three times a week we have anatomy that we go. We can do our self-study. So we go in, it's big. You can imagine a big anatomy building, big, disgusting, smelly, horrible building, dead animals everywhere. And there are students that have to monitor that. And so we know them really well because they always see us in there. So, yeah, we've made a lot of good friends, actually. They're nice people, really nice people.
So what fun things have you done in outside of school there?
Not that much. Been a lot of studying, to be perfectly honest. But the riding is fun. Going to the riding, we've been on all these field trips to see all the farms. There is a water park that someone went to. We just had Easter break, so a bunch of people either went home or people went to go do fun things like the water park. There's skiing. We have a ski hill probably half an hour away from us, and then a big major because we're in the Tatras Mountains, and they have the high Tatras and the low Tatras, and they're big, pretty big skiing facilities, so that's nice. You can go skiing anytime. We go into town a lot. Karaoke bar, we go sing in the karaoke bar, we're going again on Friday, so we do stuff like that.
Well now, do you, how about the food? So has the food been a culture shock for you?
The food is interesting, it's been a blend.
Okay, that's like going out on a first date and saying, she was interesting.
So there's a cafeteria here in the building, and there's also one at school. But it's all in Slovakian, and you have to order it the day before. The problem is we have no idea what we're ordering. So we're too chicken to order it. So we go there with our little, you know, Slovak book, and we try and figure out what it is, but we can't figure out what the food is. So we've eaten goulash. The goulash is amazing, and there's many amazing things. But we also, in our anatomy, we have a great teacher in anatomy, and she was telling us all about interesting foods, and we happen to be doing the digestive system of ruminants. And she said, oh yes, the rumen, you make a very good soup out of this. I'm like, what? And they make a soup called drushki, and it's made from the rumen of a cow.
It's basically the intestines, right?
Yeah. So we wrote down the name.
You know, intestine soup doesn't sound as good as what do you call it?
Mushy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
So have you gotten anything that you went, oh, I just don't like this? This is not good.
Well, we've had lots of food that we have no idea what it is. So lots of meat products that we're not sure. There's a lot of salamis and sausages, but they all taste pretty good, to be perfectly honest.
So is it more to the German food? Would it be more like German food with the sausages and the salamis and things like that?
There's no bratwurst here. Haven't found any bratwurst. Okay. Not good bratwurst, anyway.
Right.
And I lived there when I was a kid, so I kind of was expecting that kind of food. And we're right near Austria, so one would think have something a little Germanic. But they have their own stuff. Lots of sausage that, you couldn't even say it was Italian sausage or anything. It's got strange, a lot of paprika. Everything's got paprika in it.
So very smoky flavored.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, a lot of greasy sausages, too. I like sausages, but...
Well, I assume that the beer has come over. That has made the way across the board.
Oh, yeah, you're missing out. If you're a beer aficionado, you need to be here. Pivo, it's called Pivo, P-I-V-O, and it costs about 90 cents for a glass of Pivo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you can be a cheap drunk.
So cheap, yeah. Even things like shots and that, everything is much, much cheaper. Yeah. They're a big drinker, actually. There's a big drinking community here. You walk into town, and there are lots of little cafes selling coffee and cake, and then right next door will be basically a little bar with seats outside, and all during the day, everyone's sitting around drinking. I mean, not that they're alcoholics, but everyone's out. It's a big kind of social scene. Everyone's drinking in the afternoon.
Do they do the siestas there, like in Spain and Mexico?
No siestas, sorry.
Just thought I'd ask. I'm really voting for siestas.
Oh, really?
Kind of liking that idea. Well, now, so as far as schooling is concerned, how are you doing grade-wise and everything?
Oh, terrible. They're going to kick me out in a minute. No, I'm doing fine. I'm hanging on in there. And like I think everyone says for vet school, too, it's not what you're learning, it's the amount. And it really is a ridiculous amount of information to smush into my old brain. So I literally just sit at my computer all day, all my hours. So I'm not out doing something else, animal type. I'm back in reading, going over my homework. So there's a lot of reading.
Well, I'm glad you're doing well, and it's so good to get caught up with you again. We'll keep in touch, and we'll keep tabs on you. You're our adopted vet student. So,
Thank you.
Of course, we had to have an adopted vet student from Slovakia, because that's just exotic, and we don't know anything about Slovakia. What I know about Slovenia is that's where all of the last cruise I took, most of the servers and things were from Slovenia, and they were all absolutely gorgeous blonde girls.
Yeah. They're very beautiful people over here, actually. Yeah, all the girls are very fit. They're tall, slender. They get up in the morning and they are made up. They have high heels and makeup and jewelry and they go to class. Oh, yeah. You won't see many Slovakian girls looking dowdy.
They're the best dressed vets in the world, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They put us to shame, let me tell you. They really do. Yeah.
A slovenly American.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday morning, 7 o'clock class.
Well, thank you, Rochelle, and good luck. Keep it up.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Well, there's a report from Rochelle from Slovakia. I don't know if I'd have the guts to go take a vet, to go take vet school in a foreign country like that.
I know, but you do want to go there to go look at all those women.
Who apparently are made up at 7 o'clock in the morning, ready to go. She said, I feel so much like a slob over here because they're always looking good in high heels.
Oh, I know. I had a friend who was in a band, and he said that they got to do this, like, really small world tour, and going to some of those countries over there, it's like, all tall, blonde, beautiful women that love Americans. And I was like, I don't want to hear anymore.
And he was in a band. I'm like, don't tell me anything.
Stop right there. Hey, our song today is sponsored by FeedXL. You know, we talk about FeedXL a lot, obviously, and we've been talking about them for a long time. It's the place you can go to check whether you're feeding your horse correctly. They have some scientific formulas they put together to make sure that you're feeding your horse the proper things. Well, another thing they have that you should go sign up for is a newsletter. And something that caught my attention in that last newsletter was big head syndrome, big head disease. Have you ever heard of big head disease?
What?
Yeah, apparently big head disease, it results from long-term calcium deficiency in the diet. Big head has severe effects on your horses, making movement painful and lameness a constant issue. Had you ever heard of that?
There are lots of celebrities I know that have big head disease. Just absolutely large heads.
So, do you think that they have a long-term calcium deficiency and we should fix that?
Well, it makes them millions of dollars, so they shouldn't fix it. But, yeah.
Well, these are the kind of things you can learn by signing up for the newsletter over at FeedXL. I know Jennifer gets it, and if you really want to keep track of what's going on, the one before that, I remember they did it on ryegrass and tall fescue, so they talk about the types of hays, and they really get into detail about your horse's care because that's what they care about over there. You can hop on over. It's only a three-step process to fill out to find out if you're feeding your horse correctly or not. And if you need to change your diet to bump up certain vitamins and minerals, they have it. They have it all figured out over there. Dr. Narada Richards is terrific. She knows what she's talking about when it comes to feeding. FeedXL.com. I thought I'd give you a little Jared Rogerson today.
Woo-hoo!
We've had a lot of Templeton, so I thought we'd throw in a little Jared today. There it is. Here's a little Above the Timberline.
The city offers you convenience. This old mountain offers you no lenience, but it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebag. Knows what you'll find on my trusty steed. I've got everything I need up here on the Great Divide. I went to college searching for my way. Textbooks for rodeo seemed a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags. Who knows what you'll find on my trusty steed. I've got everything I need up here on the Great Divide. There's bighorn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. We got fish to eat. And up here there ain't no bears. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. Fate's in charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
And that's Jared Rogerson above the Timberline. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. Well, this show today is brought to you by Back on Track Products. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is producing today. Today's Horse Radio Network show highlight is the driving radio show, which came out yesterday. It was called Ponies Driving the Wolfhound. Something I didn't know is that the big coaches are the big carriage, the huge carriages you see that you might see the queen in, or you see these very few places because there are so few of them, but they're the great big huge ones that you can sit inside, but most of the time you see everybody riding on the top. They all have names. I didn't realize they're all named, and I guess if you spend $500,000 for a carriage, you probably do name them. So that's what this week's show's about. We talked to a lady by the name of Claire Reed who owns one of these coaches, and she drives it with four little white ponies. It's so cute.
Aww.
So, yeah, and that's why the name of it is Ponies Driving the Wolfhound. So that's on this week's driving radio show.
I've got a Facebook update for you, Glenn, because Jennifer posted, Little Joe Montana's causing drama again. After several months of happily eating the same feed, he's decided he doesn't like it. And then Judy Fetner said, mess with his mind. Feed him the new stuff and then switch back to the old stuff after a few months. That's going to have to be what I do. And then Nancy Hathaway Chambers, I feel better because she went through this, I guess, and she says whatever it takes to keep her horse happy, she's given him like four different kinds of feeds mixed together. So I might have to do that. I did just start the rice bran. Have you ever used rice bran on any of your horses?
Jennifer?
Yes, I have. It's good stuff.
Well, how do you feed it? So I went to buy it because, again, we have four thoroughbreds on the property. And, you know, with Jet, all of them work. All my horses work very hard for a living. And I just think that some of them need some more fat. So I bought this rice bran yesterday. I went to the feed store and just went crazy. So the problem is, how do you get them to eat it? I mean, is it delicious? It looks like pasty white powder to me.
I didn't have a lot of trouble. I had to start out with like a tablespoon, and it took a good couple of weeks to get it up to the appropriate amount, but I had to start with just a tiny bit.
Okay, yeah. So, because I'm starting that this morning, too, and just thought maybe I should try, you know, like, do you put water in it? I mean, God, it looks like you're just eating flour, like, bleh.
No, I didn't use liquid, no. But I use the stuff that KPP makes, the Equijoule, which I don't think is as powdery as what you see in some rice bran products.
A little bit more granular feeling. Like a grain kind of thing. Okay, well, maybe I'll have to get it from them next time because I swear I bought this bag and I'm like, there's no way they're going to eat this. I mean, you just blow it and it just disappears. It's like a cloud of dust. So we shall
biscuit.
See if the thoroughbreds and Joe Montana will actually eat this stuff.
You're going to be pulling your hair out.
Oh, I already am. And then to explain to Chad, like, why I just had to spend, like, $30 on a bag of rice bran, he's like, what is this? I'm like, honey, it's going to help add weight. But aren't you already feeding him this and this and this, and you grind up the flax seeds and you do this? And I know, honey, but the horses still need to add weight. How much are you feeding them? Well, they get this and this. How much does that cost a month?
Boy, this all sounds familiar. I remember this from back in our early days, too. Although,
seriously?
For us, it was the exact opposite. I have always wanted to feed the horses more than Jennifer does. So I think ours is the opposite.
Yeah. Ours is the opposite. But you know, just to feed four thoroughbreds, I'm like, first of all, honey, we have four thoroughbreds, okay? And two of them have been starved in their life. So not only are they already behind the eight ball, they've got some metabolic issues that we're always going to deal with, and they're just going to have to eat more. And then, you know, we have a 18-year-old mare that's a boarder, and she eats more than all the horses put together. You know, like, sorry, hon. Just the way it goes. We make no money on boarding, by the way.
No, never do.
I spend way too much on food.
You never do. You never make money on boarding, that's for sure. Well, I think that we have Michelle ready here. So do you want to take that. Well, first, let me find this.
It's time for the weekly health report from Horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Well, it is time for our weekly horse health segment with Michelle Anderson from thehorse.com. And we've got Michelle on here, and it's a timely topic because, especially for those of us that live in the desert, in the godforsaken desert that I live in, it is that time of the year where the rattlesnakes start rearing their ugly head. And if you notice, we did post on Facebook a photo of one that was about the size of a tree trunk that was just minding his own business. I mean, I didn't run over him or anything, but I took a photo of him from my car, and it just serves as a reminder that this is the time of year, especially here, where the snakes start to come out. And it doesn't matter where you are in the country, everywhere, you are not exempt, unless you live in Hawaii, from poisonous snakes. And rattlesnakes are everywhere. Glenn now moved to Florida. They have rattlesnakes down there, plus all sorts of other fun, deadly creatures. So what we're going to talk to them about today is, what do you do if your horse, and I added this addendum, or your dog, is bitten by snakes, spiders, porcupines, scorpions, whatever. So we're going to get Dr. Jones on in just a minute. But let's welcome Michelle Anderson. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I live in the desert also, although I'm in the high desert. So the snakes are still a little sleepy. It's a little chilly for them, but we will start seeing those pretty soon out in the Badlands where I ride, which isn't too far from my house.
All right, that does not sound like a very nice place to ride, the Badlands.
No.
I ride in the Badlands. That just doesn't sound pretty.
I ride in the Badlands and Death Valley. Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really beautiful. You have to appreciate the desert for what it is. I am really fortunate because we have the Badlands, which is the desert, and the junipers out to the east of us. But then you go west a half an hour, and we're up in the Cascade Mountains in the pine trees. So really, really spoiled trail riders here in Central Oregon. But we do have to look out for those critters. I've never come across a rattlesnake. I know they're out there. We have scorpions. I don't think I've come across them, but I, you know, like you, Jamie, I wonder what do you do if they do get your horse while you're out riding, especially. So hopefully Dr. Jones will be here pretty soon to tell us all about what we need to do.
Well, Dr. Jones is here, and we were just given a little rundown about where these awful places that we live with those awful creatures that are trying to kill us. And Dr. Jones is here to tell us how did we save our own lives and the lives of our friends.
Well, I'm not a doctor, so for a human person, so I wouldn't say how to save your own life. I think you should probably get a specialist on for that. But
we're not worried about ourselves. We can handle it. It's our horses and our dogs that I'm worried sick about. So what we're just talking about is the fact that it's starting to warm up here in the desert. Michelle's got a little while longer, but Glenn is down there in Florida. You're down there in Florida, and it is that time of year. I saw my first rattlesnake the other day, and it scared the bejesus out of me. And, you know, this is such a timely topic is, what do we do? How can we prevent it? And what do we do if it happens?
Yeah, my question is, what does venom do to the horse's body? You know, if your horse gets bit, what is that going to affect in, as far as the horse's organs and circulation?
Great questions. The prevention part is a little hard to probably discuss or plan for because we live in the woods, you know, we live in the country, and so do they. So, you know, the best thing you can do is keep your grasses low, keep your weeds down, that kind of thing, dark spaces that they like to hang out in, you know, minimize that, that kind of thing. But anything you would do, you know, for around your house, the same thing with your barn. But as far as the concern with the horses, this is what happens, and I hope this will calm down a lot of your fears, Jamie. most of snake bites that are done, whether they're venomous or not, because they can be bitten by non-venomous snakes occasionally too, are not, the venom is not shot into the horse, and there are more local tissue irritations. So more than not, more times than not, your horse might have gotten bit by a snake at one point in time and you didn't even know it, or got a mild swelling and resolved it out in the pasture on its own fine, or you did some cold hosing, don't know why they get a little swelling, and everything resolved fine. The worst case scenario in a snake bite is not actually the venom. It's the sharp fangs from a venomous snake that acts like a hypodermic needle and takes the bacteria from their mouth and injects the bacteria into the leg. That's the concern we have. Go ahead.
So what do you do?
So most of them are, the most concerning ones are the bites in the face, because as horses are curious, they're putting their nose down in the grass to eat, but they're also putting their nose in areas to check things out. They're very curious animals. The bites in the nose are the ones that we're most concerned about, because their face will swell, and you can get occlusion of the nares and of the air passage, and some of those horses may need a tracheostomy in a very, very severe case, or some sort of opening through the nasal passages to kind of keep the nares opened so that it doesn't completely swell over, especially right down at the end of the nose. So you can even take those syringe caps and, you know, plug them in the nose if you're out in the trail. And that happens, and most times they probably won't get bit on the face out in the trail, because you're going to have them under a bridle and riding them along, and, you know, if they get bit, they're eating grass while you're having lunch or something. But on the face, I mean. So that's your biggest problem, is the swelling of the head. I would say immediately call your veterinarian. If you're on the trail, get the horse back to the trailer as soon as you can without increasing the heart rate too much, because that will also increase how much of that area is going to swell up faster. So you need to get back in a calm fashion and get them seen by a veterinarian. The snake bites in the legs, they're more of what we call cellulitis, where they get inflammation of that area. It swells up. They probably need antibiotics because they've injected some nasty bacteria into those little fang marks and made a nice little puncture wound that you can't lavage out. Any inflammatories, cold hosing, that kind of thing. In my experience, I've had both types. I've had them on the face and I've had them on the legs. The one on the leg, and this was a question Michelle asked last night, is when you see it, you're going to see the two fang marks. Not necessarily. The one on the leg was a pastured horse. I got called out during the middle of the day. They found the horse down. The leg is swollen. They're concerned. Is it broken? Feeling it wise, it didn't feel like there was any what we call crepitus, where you feel the fractures moving, the two pieces of bone moving. I didn't feel any of that, but we wanted to be on the safe side, so we took x-rays. There was no fracture. So we treated it like a cellulitis. It was very hot and painful. So we had on antibiotics, anti-inflammatories for the inflammation, cold hosing. You can even do some sweat bandaging if it's low enough in the leg, and this one was. By the time we got the swelling down, which is about 2 or 3 days later, we saw two small fang marks on the backside of the leg, and they were oozing out some serum. The reason you don't see those fang marks is because it swells up so much in the skin, it occludes the holes that those fang marks go in, and you don't see the serum coming out, and you can't see the little tiny holes. So you can't always see the fang marks or the spider bite, or the, not spider bite, the snake bite holes until the swelling goes away a lot of times.
So would you treat, sorry, let me just jump in here real quick, and then I'll let you take over. So would you treat a cellulitis typically, like, all the time, like you would a snake bite? Is that, was that just, like, lucky that you happened to do all the same thing?
Yeah, I think you would treat most of them that way. Some of the cellulitis, especially in the hind limb, can look like a lymphangitis, too, because the whole leg swells up. So you treat a lymphangitis maybe a little different than your cellulitis, but they're pretty close in treatment. So you wouldn't be so far off that you're ruining any chance of the horse to recover. You just might have to alter a couple days into it, alter your treatment protocol to a different strategy. So
okay.
So in my area, we also have other creepy crawlers, like scorpions. So is a scorpion sting going to be similar to a snake bite as far as treatment?
No, I would probably put a scorpion sting. Now, of course, the smaller ones that aggravate you a bit more, as opposed to where Jamie is, it's going to be probably a bit more of an aggravation and a worry.
We have those small guys here.
Yeah, we have the small ones as well, and they really just kind of It's kind of like a bee sting. They do a little local inflammation. It's a little bit painful, that kind of thing. So it's more like a spider bite, but not as tissue-eating, flesh-eating as a spider bite is. The spider bites can be a lot more necrotic when they bite, and the tissue just sloughs away, and it's like tissue paper, and it oozes out black stuff and that kind of thing, where the scorpion bite might be more like a raised welt bee sting kind of thing.
So you mentioned the spider bites, and those are the other kind of creepy crawlies. We have the brown recluse where I'm at and black widows. So what are you looking for if you think that your horse has been bitten by a spider? Does it go from zero to nasty like you just described, or is there an intermediate step?
Well, the intermediate step is the immediate swelling, and you'll actually most times see those big bites because they get black and blue, and you'll see those two black and blue holes, where in a snake bite it's not, because you don't get black and blue holes when you get vaccine injections. So the snake bite is more of a hypodermic needle, where the spider bite is nastier, especially like a brown recluse, something that's going to have a little bit of poison to it. And they have more of a black and blue, and then becomes brown necrotic and starts to ooze out some black stuff in the center. But that swelling and the two dots, the black and blue dots, is what you'll probably see right off the bat. And then a couple days into it, two, 3 days into it, you'll start seeing indentation in that area and the tissue starting to peel away. And they're very, very painful in that area.
Yeah.
So you treat them similar to those snake bites.
We had a cat that was a house cat, and when we lived in Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden this cat started losing, like, its tissue on its one leg was going away.
Yeah.
And finally, it was just disappearing. It was the strangest, weirdest thing. We had no idea what it was. We brought him to the vet, and within 3 days, almost all of the tissue on his leg was gone.
Yeah.
And the cat ended up dying that day, I think the third day. But it was just, you could see the bones. I mean, it was the most bizarre thing and grossest thing that we probably had to deal with a little critter like that. And then we determined then, we found a black or brown recluse spider in the basement. And that's how we determined to keep an eye out for those. But, yeah, that was scary.
So you described exactly what you'd probably see in a horse, on a smaller scale, though, in a horse, because it stays pretty much localized. It would get about as big as a baseball or grapefruit, the swelling can, but the center necrosing area can go from dime to quarter size, and if you jump on it right away, it doesn't get much bigger than that if you, you know, get your antibiotics going and all your anti-inflammatories, cold hosing and such. But back to the snakes, and Jamie has the question is, what does it do the animal, you know, especially with venom? I have the luxury of a snake expert in my practice. He's the son of one of my clients, and just the kid ever since, I've known them for over 15 years now, ever since he's been a young teenager or older adolescent, has this huge curiosity in snakes and spiders, and he decided to go on. He's at the college now, and he's got a degree, biology degree, in doing his research on snakes as we speak for a master's and PhD. And he and I were chatting about snakes at one time, and he said there's so much variation. Nobody really knows what is actually in the venom of the snake when they inject it, all the components of it, and how it affects the body is completely different. And it seems that humans have a higher effect from the snake venom than animals do. And it's probably, we had this discussion, we were laughing about it, it's probably the fact that humans know they got bit by a snake, they get their anxiety up, they get scared, their adrenaline starts running, where an animal out in the field gets bit, well, they get bit by lots of things. They get bit by flies, they get bit by, you know, wasps and bees and all sorts of stinging nettles in the grass and all sorts of different things, fire ants, now that you're down here, Glenn. But
yeah.
They get bit by all these sorts of animals and critters that a snake bite, yeah, it probably hurt, but it also felt like probably a vaccine, too, and they don't get as anxious, possibly. But the other thing is the size, you can't necessarily say it's the size, because in his experience, he's seen very small miniature toy dogs do just fine with a snake bite, and he'll see German Shepherds fall over dead from a snake bite, because he's gone to numerous talks by veterinarians on the subject of small animal, and of course I don't do small animals, so I'm just interpolating his facts he's found. But the dogs, you can't say that every small dog that gets bit by a snake or a venomous snake is going to definitely die. And every large dog is not going to die. He says some will drop dead immediately, some will have swelling and then die, and some don't have any problems at all. So now, it just depends on what area they hit, how hard they hit, and what bacteria is in their mouth, really.
So just to clarify, it's not like the old Westerns where I'm supposed to get out my pocket knife, cut the little X, and suck it out of his leg.
Suck it out. You can do that, Glenn, if you'd like, and I want somebody to film it. Put it on YouTube and see how many hits we get. No, that's really old-fashioned. That's not what we need to do. And okay. Most of the times, they don't inject venom. That's a lot of product for them to put out, and unless they're going to actually eat their animal, they're not going to waste the venom is basically the thought. So why waste it on something large that they know they cannot take down and eat? They're going to use it for something that they can paralyze and eat later.
So they can actually regulate when they squirt and when they don't?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they can regulate when they squirt the venom and when they don't.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, not every single venomous snake bite has got venom in it. It just could be the bacteria, the nasty mouth, you know.
Huh.
After it ate a rat that, you know, the intestines and everything going in, you know, has all that bacteria, if you think about it, in their mouth, and they inject that into you. And that's what causes the blowing up of the face in a horse, the blowing up of a leg, is the bacterial infection that they just put into a puncture wound.
Now, question for you. I'd never heard of this in my entire life until I moved out here to this godforsaken desert. The vet that does my vaccines for my dogs is like, do you want to get the rattlesnake vaccine? And I was like, what? And apparently it's a vaccine out here that they give to dogs. Now, I thought, well, of course I want to do it. That's the perfect thing. I mean, heck, they get bit by a snake, they're going to be fine. And she said, no. It doesn't make it fine. It just gives you more time.
And we have, on the horse side with the vaccine, we have an article from University of Kentucky up on the website. It's number 18557. And it does mention the vaccine, but that it's not well documented in horses yet, the efficacy of that. So that is available, but and Dr. Jones might be able to tell us more about that. But according to what we have on thehorse.com, maybe not documented yet.
Yeah, because there is no death known of two horses from snake venom. There's suspicion on a couple foals, but it's not documented for sure. And you can't say, oh, because they were small horses, they got bit by a venomous snake and they're going to definitely die. Again, it's a speculation. And they think, too, and this is, again, another answer to your question, Jamie, they think, too, that how does the venom work? It gets in the circulatory system and it affects the heart, and the heart gets damaged. And they think that some people who have had a venomous snake bite will have heart conditions later in life. And some of that has been documented, but they can't really track it as that was definitely from the snake venom, but they're pretty suspicious of it. So maybe that's what happened to that one or two foals that I've heard about. That have died after a snake bite is they immediately got into the bloodstream and went to the heart and caused heart conditions. But for a foal to have it and then die later of heart conditions, there's just no documentation on something to affect. But back to your question about the vaccine, there's no need right now for us equine veterinarians to say, oh, you should absolutely have this for your horse, because we don't have any documentation of adult horses dying from snake bites unless it's a secondary complication, which is necrosing of the tissue, and we can't control that necrosis and that tissue sepsis, or it's the suffocation of the face because they didn't get in time for us to put a tracheostomy into them or open up the airways. Those are two of the complications that you'll run into post-snake bites. And so anytime you're suspicious that you have a swelling due to a snake bite, you should probably have your veterinarian check it, and they're going to treat it like a puncture wound and or some sort of cellulitis. But the dog and cat one, I cannot, because I don't do dogs, cannot give you a definite on that, Jamie. But I was familiarized with it through my distribution person many years ago, because we had dogs run, my dogs run on 10 acres, and there's, you know, venomous snakes here in Florida. And my husband and I are concerned about it, and we checked into it, and it was only available in California at that time. They have now branched it out to the rest of the United States, where you can get it. It is available to the rest of the United States, but there isn't a whole lot of documentation, I don't think, with that vaccine, even for the dogs. Now, again, I'm not a dog vet. I go with what your dog vet's recommending and follow their lead.
Well, you know, honestly, it was my horse vet that was talking to me about doing the vaccine on the dog. So, of course, it's like that. So, yeah, she, and again, that's why I was asking you, because she was like, yeah, I kind of don't know really either. So I opted to not get them all vaccinated because, again, it just seemed like it wasn't really 100%. So I laid off. I was like, well, let's just see what everybody else does.
Right, and that's kind of where I'm sitting, too. You know, I hope to God my dogs don't get bit, because my husband will shake his finger at me and say, I told you so. But, yeah, I'm kind of sitting out and waiting to see what the fallout is of it. And it's been out there for many years now, so it's just not a heavy pushed item, probably because, again, the venomous part is not always injected into the animal. What you're going to get is what they saw, you know, what Glenn had on the cat is just the necrosing of the area from the bacterial injection.
Right. Well,
I have to ask about one other thing before we run out of time here. And Dr. Jones, have you ever had a horse come across a porcupine and end up quilled?
We don't have porcupines here in Florida that, you know, I have to have that worry. But there are cases, and I've read the case studies on them. But, yes, they have, and it's usually in the nose because of the curiosity thing again. You know, they got their face down into them, and they'll get the quills in the nose. And those things have backwards barbs. You cannot just yank them out. You need to see a veterinarian to get those out.
we have
porcupines here.
Do you?
And they're nasty. I haven't ever had either of my horses quilled, but I've had friends who've dealt with it with their dogs and their horses, and it hasn't been pretty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They can't shoot them. Jamie was mentioning earlier about them shooting them. They don't shoot them. You have to actually touch the porcupine, or he touches you.
Yeah, they don't shoot them. You have to touch them.
Yeah, not like a little
that
gun.
Would be awesome.
Fine.
Now,
the one thing
I have seen here is they have trainers out here that work with dogs and horses, and basically, if you know what they do with the dogs and the horses is they do a rattle from a rattlesnake, and then, you know, basically spook the horse or spook the dogs to make sure that they, when they hear that, they run.
Yeah. No. My dad, for his big retirement thing from work, he went on a ride with his buddies down in Wyoming, and they came across a lot of rattlesnakes. And I was telling Dr. Jones about this. One snake jumped out at a guy, and the horse spooked so hard that the cinch broke. And the horse left the rider in the saddle behind with the snake.
So,
I don't know that I want to train my horse to run from the snake.
Back up slowly, slowly. Well, yeah. You guys, this has been so helpful, and I really do appreciate it, especially with the time of year that it is. So, obviously, thehorse.com is going to have some information about this online. Can you tell us where to find it?
Yep, thehorse.com, and that was article 18557. Really, really good in-depth article about dealing with snake bites in horses.
My concern with snakes is that there are some good snakes out there that eat rats and mice. Please be kind to your snakes. There are some good ones that you need to probably have around your barn to keep your rodent population down. So be kind to your snakes.
And everybody know we have not killed the black racer snake that's living on our front porch. We keep
good.
It still around. It's a little spooky.
Yeah, but what he's doing, Glenn, is he's sitting on your front porch and he's keeping watch for any of the other poisonous spiders because he's probably very territorial and won't let anybody come on the property. So never kill a snake that is, you know, just live and let live. Come on.
We also haven't had any guests that wanted to come knock on our door either. So
no Jehovah's Witness at your house.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, guys.
Dr. Jones can be found at floridaequine.com, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Jones. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, guys.
Look, I didn't even get grossed out at that topic.
Well, that's because it's stuff you actually have to pay attention to.
I know,
because
really
it could be you. It could be you. But it's just one of those things. If it happens, what do you do? And basically, what I got out of that whole thing was get your horse to the vet.
No matter what, get your horse to the vet, and your dog, obviously, as well. So kind of sucks.
It was all great news, but don't you have a story you need to cover before the end of the show? Isn't there an update to an important story from yesterday?
I don't know what you're talking about, Glenn. I'm ready to wrap up. Yes, the Arabian horses have now officially been put on the card to race at Pimlico. There will be a Grade 1 race for Arabian horses on the same day as the Preakness Stakes.
What track was that again?
On the same day as the race that comes in between the Derby and the Belmont.
where was that again? I keep forgetting where that race is held.
That's the Preakness, and it's
Pimlico.
Jagasus, half horse, half man, with beer in hand, he strolls the infield best.
So
super fun. Yeah, I know. We will officially get to watch Arabian horse racing on the national stage. So I'm really excited to see it, and just, you know, kind of, I've never seen it before. So let's familiarize ourselves. The Preakness is going to happen at the end. Of course, there's 14 races, and this is like a $75,000 race for Arabians. So pretty cool. I can't wait to see it.
Absolutely terrific. I think that would, you know, I think they should mix in quarter horse racing too with some of these. It's so exciting to watch. And I don't know why more tracks don't mix up their races like that. I think it would add to the spectacle, and you'd get more spectators out. You'd get more bettors out too.
Yeah, and speaking of betting, this will blow your mind. Are you ready for the news that Keeneland is going to offer betting at the Kentucky Horse Park? You are going to be able to drive to the Kentucky Horse Park, and there's going to be a parking lot that is leased by Keeneland for 2 days, and they're going to have also on the Derby and Oaks days at the training center in Lexington. You will be able to drive into this parking lot at the Kentucky Horse Park and do drive-through betting.
Is that for the Derby only? It's 2 days for the Derby?
It's for the Derby only, and the training center, which is on, I think it's Piscopike, where you can also go out there I'll forget what road it is. You can go out there and bet on the Derby and the Oaks, so the day before. Now, what's really cool is that they may start doing this more often, and again, it's a drive-through wagering facility at the horse park, but they're going to split all of the revenues with the Kentucky Horse Park. So they'd be crazy. Yeah, so Keeneland is going to pay for the whole thing. They're going to rent the parking lot. They're going to bring all of the kiosk out or whatever. I don't even know what they use. But they're going to pay for all of that. And the horse park just gets to sit back and collect half the money. Now, hopefully somebody won't hit some long shot and the horse park will be like, we had to pay $4 million to somebody who won all this. That probably won't happen. Unless it was me. I'm going to go bet there. But this is really cool. You can go to the horse park and bet.
I think it's a great idea. That's fun. All right, but we got to get out of here. It's time to call it a day. Everybody have a terrific day. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. Wear your helmets so you can listen again tomorrow.
Bay, neuter, and geld, people.
And apparently vaccinate against rattlesnakes and porcupines.
Yeah, might as well. Don't pull the quills out yourself, people. They're hooked.